from the West Coast, Bella, and tell her I cuss like a seller. When you see her, she's a goner. Moved to California, blew the bitch up and put the gangster twist on her. Sunny Southern Cal, it never snows. Niggas yelling, hey's and hoes. We jumping out of six foes.
I feel like I'm gonna be like borderline useless to this podcast.
Feel that way too. Why are you saying that?
I just say I eat so much Hawaiian time that I'm just like bordering on falling asleep already.
I was proud of myself last time I had Hawaiian time because I didn't get the big one.
Oh really?
So my go-to every single time is I'll get like the mixed plate, but I'll get the large size. And all the large size gets you, it doesn't get you more like chicken or anything. All it gets you is fucking more mac rice. Salad and rice. Yeah. It's like, I don't need more rice. Nobody needs more rice.
Always need more rice.
Unless you're going to like use it later or something. It's like, Jesus Christ, man. It's like three, it's like three meals.
I get an extra side of mac salad as well with it.
Jesus, man.
Just for, because that mac salad goes with anything you have. You could save it for other meals too.
I'm just wondering how you're not like three bills, man. Hawaiian time like that.
Man, I could put food away.
I guess so. Must be nice having a metabolism.
What do you mean you get an extra thing of mac? So you get the large.
A side of mac too?
With a huge thing of rice, a side of rice, and a side of mac, and then another side of mac on the side?
That's what
So the standard meal that comes, you know, it's got a scoop of rice,
yeah,
scoop of mac, and then like your meat with rice underneath it.
Yeah.
On top of a little to-go small container of mac.
Oh, wow. So you don't get the large meal.
No, I get like the regular size meal.
Okay, okay. Because the way I heard it is like you're getting three scoops of mac from Hawaiian time.
The lady tried to, I was like, how many scoops come, you know, I was trying to see, well, maybe I get the large side of mac. I was like, it's six scoops of mac.
I'm pretty sure that's like 3,000 grams of fat, I'm pretty sure. So
you're saying people come in and get like a pound of their mac salad?
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I don't condone it. Good way to have a heart attack before you're 40. But hey, at least you're going out eating mac salad from a long time, so it could be worse.
Going out on a high note there.
Yeah, pretty much. all right, let's start with the Ducks, shall we? Because we had another couple good 10 inches of Waltons yesterday in their win over UCLA. My favorite was, I wrote it down because I totally forgot it. He said, Walton said, I like players who are dripping wet. Sentence. And beginning and end
of sentence.
Yep. I mean, he's talking about players who work hard and sweat a lot, but his literal words, I like players who are dripping wet. Like, do you? Okay. Like, the job Dave Pasch does with Walton is incredible. Like, because, like, normal guys like you and I, we hear that line, we're like, dude, what the fuck are you talking about? Like, you're fucking insane. Or at least make a joke about it. Like, hashtag erotic or something. But he fucking moves on like a pro, man. Pash is
surprised.
Pash has to love it. Cause
I know.
Because his other job is, you know, Arizona Cardinals announcer.
Yeah.
And I don't care what team you root for in the NFL. All of your announcers are annoying and bland and bad. So he probably loves the fact that he gets to, you know, do the Walton stuff instead of someone who's like, well, on 4th and 1, I think we should punt. But they're at the goal. They're at the goal line, Steve. Hey, still field goal that, you know, NFL.
The Raiders have Musburger, right?
They do. And Lincoln Kennedy.
Yeah, that's right.
Who does it with Pash for the Cards, too?
Can you name an ex-Cardinal?
Pat Tillman.
He's dead.
Pat Tillman's ghost does it with him then, I guess. That's
too soon, man.
I mean, honestly, I'm trying. Kurt Warner?
Did Larry Fitzgerald retire yet?
2 or 3 years here?
I'm struggling to come up with a former Cardinal. Oh,
Anquan Boldin.
Aeneas Williams.
David Boston.
There you go.
Emmett Smith.
Why am I struggling? Emmitt Smith, yeah. Cardinals legend Emmitt Smith.
I think he was a was he a Phoenix Cardinal or I'd love to look that up if he was in Arizona or a Phoenix Cardinal. But he was definitely playing at Sun Devil Stadium, which is just the saddest way for that compiler Emmitt Smith to go out.
Any bad mouthing of Emmitt Smith, I am fully on board with.
I remember when he broke the rushing record, it was against the Seahawks.
Yeah.
And even that was so sad.
Yeah.
It was like
35 carries for 92 yards.
The announcers were pumping it up and he's pointing to the sky, which I get. Hey, it's a big accomplishment.
Yeah.
But it was like, I probably wouldn't put you in my top 10 running backs, but you played forever. Good for you.
Yep.
Is he more of a compiler or more of a system running back?
Compiler.
Compiler, for sure. He played forever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but
I mean he's years, a little bit of both.
Anyone can run
a little bit of both
Cowboys lines.
Yeah, you don't even really need to think about it. Like,
I would love to look up his stats.
At least five better running backs than Emmitt Smith. Like, just off the top of your head.
Well, okay. Do you think Emmitt Smith had over 5.5 elite seasons as a rusher?
Like, what defines elite? Like, over
all pro or like second all pro? All pro.
Over 1,300 yards or whatever? Because he did play in an era with good running backs, too. So, I would say he probably had like three all pro years. But then again, he played at the same time as Barry Sanders. Played at the same time as a bunch of really good running backs. So I don't know. He wasn't really athletic at all either.
All right. Well, here you go. I just looked it up. All right. So 8-time Pro Bowl.
Yes.
Yeah.
4 times first team all pro.
Okay. So I said
2 times second team, 1 MVP.
MVP.
4-time rushing leader. Huh. 3-time rushing touchdown leader. So
okay, yeah, he's a Hall of Famer.
About five, so bad. Like I said,
if you're going to be the all-time leading rusher in NFL history, you need to have seasons where you lead the league and you're an All-Pro. When was he MVP?
MVP 93.
Was everybody else injured?
He had 1,400, almost 1,500 yards. Wait, so he won the MVP in 93 with 1,486 yards rushing and 9 touchdowns. The year before, in 92, 1,713 yards rushing with 18 touchdowns. Was that just like a makeup MVP?
Yeah, right.
Sounds like it.
Consolation MVP.
I mean, which quarterback that threw for 12 touchdowns in 92 won the MVP?
It's fucking insane. 92. Who won the Super Bowl in 92? I have no idea. I don't think you guys do either.
Cowboys?
Well, it could be Cowboys. Could be Niners, too. No, Niners.
That definitely wasn't the Niners.
Niners won in 95. What am I talking about? Yeah, huh?
From what I gathered there, it kind of seemed like 91 to 95, Emmitt was real good.
Yeah.
And then it sounds like he was just
Those are the golden years for the Cowboys and the Niners, like going back and forth with each other. Yeah,
Steve Young won the MVP in 92.
Steve Young.
And he had 25 touchdown passes.
Yeah, and he also probably ran for 10. You got his numbers in front of you?
Not the rushing. Let me see.
Yeah. Actually, you know, I don't know that he ever really put up huge rushing numbers. He just made big runs when they were necessary.
Well, that was also their quarterbacks weren't really running the ball then.
They weren't running RPOs back then.
No,
it was all short pass.
They barely let him get like a 1 yard touchdown run back then.
He had 4 touchdowns and 537 yards rushing.
That's good back then, man. Like for a quarterback,
I'm just different era.
Yeah,
I'm just laughing at a quarterback winning an MVP with like 31 total touchdowns.
Yeah, it's very different era. Yeah. Yeah, you ain't shit unless you're throwing 40 touchdown passes in a season now. Craziness. Okay, so to Ducks. Nice. So 9 of their last 10. You know, last week you said, King, that you weren't like as high on this team as you have been with other teams. The more I've been watching them the last couple weeks, and I know they're winning, so that helps, but like, I like what they're doing now. And we've talked about like the way Altman can suddenly get his players to play well at the end of the season. Like, they're playing good defense now, which is nice, because, you know, the trend is always that they struggle early in the season and then they get better. But that has actually happened this year, which is good to see. And they have like, God, I'd say three guys who can really kind of just score whenever they want to. Like Omaruyi and Duarte, obviously. I think Figueroa like can score when he wants to. Like, he's obviously a good outside shooter too, but his ability to go inside like is not something like he can slash too. I didn't really see him as that type of player until recently. And like, it was interesting because I talked last week about them like needing size. And I don't know that they do, unless they go up against a team with it. Like, cause you know, just watching UCLA, you have Big Frank come in for like 5 minutes, if that, in the first half, like you did, you know, last week when we were talking about it. But other than that, like, they don't really need an inside presence with the way they play.
Lawson helped against UCLA when he came in.
He's long. On the deep
end. That's
yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying like, cause Big Frank, so I guess my concern would be is if they do face a team in the tournament with a big man.
They face Iowa going against Garza.
Is he going to be able to handle it? Because he has seemed good, but also when he's been in there recently, he has seemed kind of out of his element a little bit. Like a lot of the stuff that's around him, he's not really sure what's going on. He's just relying on his size and athleticism.
Well, the good thing about college is all you do
everybody
is...
Everybody around him has been fucking great.
All you do is you just play zone.
Yeah.
That's all you got to do to help me is have two people kind of go down on the big man if he's killing you.
Baby.
Yeah, Waltonism. Nice. Well, go down, big man.
No, but it's... Dana was kind of treating that UCLA game like a tournament game because pretty much the starting five played...
The whole game.
5% of the game. They played eight guys, and like you said, Frank played like 4 minutes.
They really wanted that game. Yeah. Like you could see the guys on the bench, like every time there was a big play, like the entire bench is going crazy. Especially Big Frank, by the way. He's like a cheerleader over there. Nice to see.
Here's a crazy thing I saw, though.
From a 17-year-old man, boy.
I saw Lenardi came out with, his bracketology for it. And going into the game, they had the Ducks at a 9, and they had UCLA as an 8. So the Ducks jumped to an 8, and UCLA fell to 9. But somehow Colorado's a 5, and USC's a 6, but the Ducks are an 8. I'm trying to wrap my head around how Colorado is like 14 spots better than the Ducks are.
I'm confused. With the rankings too. Like, I understand. So I guess that's my question is like, is the Pac-12 actually any good? Because they don't currently have a ranked team.
Which is, it's dumb.
It seems dumb.
No, like, it is.
Oregon should be a ranked team. Like, watching Oregon this year, like, with the guys that they have, they should be ranked. I think that. USC should probably
be ranked. USC could have been ranked.
Yeah.
I think if you look in the top 10, you will find teams with 7 losses.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not even exaggerating. I think there are, like, multiple teams from 5 to 10 who have, like, 6, 7, like, I started noticing this a couple weeks ago. I think maybe I mentioned this last week.
Ohio State ranked 7 with 7 losses.
And sure,
Iowa ranked 5 with 6 losses.
And sure, they're losing the teams that are ranked, but that's kind of just a product of the own – if you want to make a team ranked, you know what I mean? Because I totally understood why the football season, the Pac-12, was just kind of disregarded. Made sense. They started later than everyone. They're going to play 6 games. But I was looking at it when I was thinking about that. I think Oregon was like rated as high as 9th in football last year when they were like 2-0.
Yeah.
It was just like, hey, you're Oregon. You're 9.
Benefit of the doubt.
and I know it's a lot of different voters, but there's some of the same, but it's the same kind of thing. I feel like they're being rather punitive with the Pac-12 this year. It's bizarre because there's not even a lot of teams that have, like Gonzaga, they have a good out of conference. There's some other teams that have it.
College basketball.
There's not a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, well, here, let me make a quick correction myself. I was looking at just conference losses. Illinois is fourth with 6. Iowa has 7. West Virginia has 7. Alabama has 6. That's the top 8 right there.
Oh,
those are losses. I looked at conference first. That's what I saw. Yeah, Iowa has 6 conference losses.
So why are we saying that, you know, Oregon's losses are worse than, and you know, Oregon's losses are not good. Like, but
well, I mean, you
but
could say they also the state loss.
Yeah,
I mean,
a couple of them were severely COVID related.
Yeah.
So
I think the USC loss is their only really bad loss.
Yeah, it's a bad loss. Yeah,
because they went down there and got killed. Against Oregon State, they had 7 players.
Yeah.
One of them was Kepnang in like his first. He doesn't play now. The other one was Locke Wurr. He doesn't play, period. Yeah. So they basically had 5 playable players.
And that was a close-ish game.
No, I think OSU kicked their ass.
Did they get a run?
The Wazoo game was the neck like 3 weeks later when they played Wazoo for the first time in 3 weeks. Yeah. That was a 2-point loss, which if you want to say that's a bad loss, okay, by the metrics, yes. But when it's your second game in a month.
All right, well, then you go, all right, Colorado lost to Washington in Cal.
They lost to Cal, too?
They lost to Cal, too, yeah.
Oh, geez. Oh, boy.
So there you go. If you're going to knock the Ducks for those losses, you got to knock them for – that's a healthy Colorado team losing there.
But I think Colorado's. I do think Colorado's good.
I do too, but I don't think they're that big. They shouldn't be the top Pac-12 school in the tournament. They're like the fourth team right now in the conference.
Yeah, I just find the whole rankings of the conference this year bizarre. Well, on top of it, I just find it weird that Altman hasn't got that
the prestige bump
pass. Yes. Yeah. Because just to keep it Oregon related, if you've watched the Oregon women's team this year, that was brand. That was them. That was the brand keeping in Kelly Graves, keeping them in the top 10 until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
When they clearly weren't in there. You can't lose all those players and play 5 freshmen. And I get it.
And they missed like 2 or 3 weeks too, right there.
But, you know, like they're. The Oregon women's net ranking going into this morning was number 10 in the nation. They were never the 10th best team.
Not at any point.
That just shows how weird some of those metrics are, like net, and just how arbitrary voters want to make the prestige and brand of teams.
Well, it's the same deal. It's benefit of the doubt. You give Kelly Graves 100%. Benefit of the doubt because he's won the Pac-12 like a whole bunch. And he recruits, and the players he recruited and brought in were like really, really good. They had a Fab 5, like freshman class, and then Aaron Boley and stuff coming back. So they should have been better than they have been. And they just, you know, they just haven't been good. But back to the men, I guess, like, I think they're oddly enough being hurt by not playing out of conference, which is weird. Cause like all, you know, I guess, to their credit, in years past, they'll have those tournaments. They'll go to like the PK tournament. They'll do the Maui Invitational or whatever, where they'll play like a couple of good teams in there. And obviously, that didn't happen this year. But if Oregon's being punished for just playing Pac-12 teams and being the best team in the Pac-12, like why aren't the other schools being punished for the same things?
Well, have you seen? Remember, it's always been like. The big metric for was like strength of schedule, right?
Yeah.
Who have you played? Now, if you've noticed, there's a bigger thing with they're putting teams into quadrants and they allocate you your record against quad one teams.
Yeah.
Right. The problem now is they are hammering the Pac-12 so much that even wins at the conference like aren't considered quad one wins.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, with their lack of a out of conference games, I think they're just looking at these dumb metrics so much that they're hammering the Ducks because of that.
Yeah, it's interesting that we're suddenly like only wanting the eyeball test, you know. It's like suddenly we're like, hey, voters, like look at it. Like look at Duarte. Like Duarte can carry a team. Like I honestly feel that Duarte and the way he's playing, he can carry Oregon. Like, so however far they get, it's going to be because he either carries them to that point or he has a really off night and they lose. But it's all going through him. He is. So I'm not sure. I guess I'll ask you guys. Cause like, I was kind of thinking about this after the win last night, like, how do you rank him in terms of guys we've seen before? Cause last year was kind of a wash. Like he had a good year last year, but the, you know, the season, we had like half a season. And
Pritchard was the number
one. And Pritchard was the guy, exactly. And so now you have him as the guy, and he has clearly been the guy. Like he can score from anywhere on the floor. Like, and Oregon has had a few guys like that in the past. I don't know that Pritchard was one. Like Pritchard was really good once he got near the basket, I guess, but he's not he doesn't have the height. And so he's not going to like sky over anybody or like go at the rim against guys like Duarte.
Pritchard went at Pritchard could go at Pritchard found his way to England.
I'm saying, but if he goes up against the guy who's like 6'8", the 6'8" guy is going to reject the shit out of him.
I don't know what it is,
but that's not my point. I'm not here to bash Peyton Pritchard. I'm curious like how he ranks.
More like you're hating Pritchard.
That's kind of what it sounds like.
Because it rhymes. I get it. No, but like, how do we look at Duarte?
Realistically, could be Pac-12 Player of the Year.
Yeah, he should be.
Could win the top shooting guard in the country.
Yep.
It's just odd to me that there's a big push for him to be All-American Player of the Year in the Pac-12.
Right.
And I'm just shooting off the cuff. I don't want to hear any pedantic things like, well, Ridnour wasn't actually an All-American. But, like, if you just kind of go off the last, like, 20 years, I feel like I trusted Rid more. Not trust. I feel like Rid was better.
Luke
Jackson was better. I don't know if Freddie was better. Debatable.
I don't know if I'd put Ridnour above him.
Rid was one of those guys that where they were like, you know what, we can't have the high school 3-point line. Like but he was just one of them where it was like, really, this guy, that's a layup for this guy.
Yeah.
All right, let's put it in this term. So it's final shot of the game over the last 20 years. What's your top five of players you trust to take that shot?
Dylan Brooks.
Duarte's not in my top five.
You see, I will go first and let you guys think so you can skewer my picks.
Can I give you my top five? It's Brooks.
Dylon.
Yeah, Dylon.
Man, I would go, Brooks has to be one.
Yes.
Dylan Brooks.
Dylan Brooks. Yeah, Aaron Brooks might be up there too.
Aaron Brooks is two.
Yeah.
The Brooks brothers.
I would go Rid three just because, you know, he could stroke it.
Yeah.
Man, but four or five.
Joseph Young.
Joe Young is, see, there you go. Joseph, maybe.
DeVoe Joseph.
I'm kidding on that one. But yeah, Joseph Young. That guy was clutch as hell, too.
Not to one.
And then you got to put Luke and Jackson in there because Jackson can get that elbow jumper for the last shot at will.
Yeah.
So that's the problem with your Duarte.
I don't have any memories of those guys making game winners, like Ridnour or Jackson or Freddie Jones.
Freddie Jones wasn't a shooter. So. I don't put him in there. But
I'm just saying that era. I can't remember a game winner. I'm thinking back. I can't. I know Kurt's probably going to correct us and send us like hella YouTube.
It's a little hard to be like, oh yeah, in 2002 there was that Wednesday in Tempe where Luke Jackson hit a 17-foot elbow jumper to win it.
Okay, you say that though, but think of like, I'll never forget Aaron Brooks' winner against UCLA. I'll never forget Dylan Brooks'
number one. Well, because Dylan Brooks hit a million. He's clearly number one.
Yeah, but that's as the clock's expiring, because Jackson could have hit that elbow jumper with 18 seconds on the clock, you know, left in the game to give him the lead.
Then he
that's
goes
still left, you know, that's a go ahead bucket there.
Yeah. Joe Young.
I will say
Joe Young in the Pac-12 championship game.
Yeah.
Before the Cal game this weekend, I saw the clip of Brooks's game winner like 4 years ago at Haas Pavilion.
Yeah.
And if you have a chance, look it up. I don't, you know, whatever. It is amazing to me how loud the arena got when he hit the game winner with 0.2 left. It was louder than Matthew Knight Arena gets. There were so many Bay Area Ducks there.
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh man, so that game winner at Matt Knight was one of the best sports experiences I've been a part of. That shit was amazing. Like,
absolutely, that was so incredible. Good. That game was great.
So good. So good. And so what happened at the end? Like, they missed a free throw too. And if they had made the free throw, the game is like over basically. And then they get the rebound. Brooks gets the three. It was one of those plays where like you dribble right and then you hand it off behind you to the guy. God, I fucking love that play, man. You give a guy like 2 feet like that, it's money every single time. Good stuff.
Well, so back to your original question, Braga.
Back
no,
to the
Duarte hand. Is not in there.
No,
not yet.
Yeah, he's got time.
Not yet.
I guess he can have,
because you know. Pritchard wasn't. Not that I'm saying our top fives were whatever, 2 seconds worth of thoughts.
But
Pritchard wasn't
a list.
But Pritchard wasn't in anyone's anything until last year. Until he did it.
You know? There's my other point I was going to bring up is
the Washington winner.
No, but we've seen this new kind of trend now with guys in the system. You know, maybe not being that star and then like hit their senior year, and like Dylan Brooks senior, like Dylan Brooks was an okay player for 3 years.
I mean, he did take him to the Elite Eight his junior year.
He was good his junior year.
Yeah, but he turned he turned to a superstar.
Yeah. His first two years he was
And then Pritchard, you know, that first year he was on that team with all the guys who didn't have to be, but he was a marginal player, and then senior year turned into that.
Yeah.
It's kind of like you need that one guy to kind of start, you know, become the guy.
See, I think my thing with Duarte is I don't think he thinks he's that guy.
Well, he doesn't take him. He doesn't shoot enough to.
That's my, and like, I don't mean that guy. Like he's afraid of the shot. Yeah. I just think he's such a play within the system. Mm-hmm. Don't force it. I can get my shot when I can get it, but there's no reason for me where there were some of the other guys. And I hate this. This is sports radio bullshit.
Right.
Alpha, you know, that's not my point. Like, he just plays within the scheme. And all of a sudden, you look up and you're like, he's got 21 points.
Yeah.
He's just a very quiet scorer because a lot of his points, they're not that exciting.
No.
Well, that's why.
It's not like the in-transition three bomb.
Really good at that. That's kind of one of the reasons I brought it up, though, is because he has started doing that lately. Like he started to actively get himself shots. Like, and maybe not necessarily the best decision shots, but they go in because he's a good shooter.
I'm the best player on this team on offense. That's the kind of shot they take.
Damian Lillard shot. Where you like dribble, isolation, step back three from like 25 feet.
I almost think it's more if the ball's in Omarudi's hands in that time, he's going to try to do that and shut something off. Yeah. So Duarte's like, I'll hold on to the ball so you don't touch it and do something dumb with it.
Fuck, there are some moments though where Omarudi looks absolutely unstoppable. Like plays where he starts out with the ball outside and then dribbles in, does a spin against the dude, and then just bodies him up. Like, I don't know of many guys in the country who can stop that. It's just he doesn't do it very often, and he does kind of take wild shots at the end sometimes.
It's weird watching him because I'm
– But fuck me. He is so strong, like around the basket especially.
Kind of like what King said about Duarte is like, I'm sitting there watching Omarudi. I'm literally yelling at him all the time, like, what the fuck are you doing? That is so dumb and bad. And then I look at the statue. I was like, oh, he had 19 points and, you know, only missed like 5 shots. It's just his misses are just so bad.
Yeah.
That it kind of overshadows him just making, you know, some simple plays too that, you know, just to get buckets.
Or it could be that we're just hypercritical of him for no reason. Oh, he's actually really good.
It's always bad.
Yeah.
But back to my point on the, you know, so you look at the team next year.
Yeah.
Dana's going to need that one guy to become the guy again, too. And if you look at this squad of what's returning, I mean, Eric Williams or Richardson? I mean, that's.
I bet you it'll be Richardson.
I mean, I guess I kind of came into this year thinking it was going to be Richardson this year. So
yeah.
Oh, that was another Waltonism. The grad transfer Tinder. He apparently asked Dana Altman if grad transfers were like Tinder for him, and Altman was like, "I next question."
What I love about just online duck talk in the last 24 hours, and I'm guilty of it to a certain extent, is basically we kind of, and I'm saying we as a general thing. Okay?
Sure.
The general feeling is Altman is going to win his fourth regular season Pac-12 title in the last 6 years because they played this weird schedule. Whatever it is, 7 games in 13 days. And then you just got this little trip, just 35 miles up north in front of no one in Corvallis to a team that's not even going to make the NIT. But Oregon is 2-5 versus that little shit team in their last seven. Like, they don't beat Wayne Tinkle. And it makes no sense.
Especially not at Gill.
This last game made sense. You know, when they played in January, it made sense. Like, we went over early. They had no players. But even at that, like 2-4, if you take that one out. And if you just look at the way this sporting calendar has gone, hey, cool. Oregon won the Pac-12 in football. They made the Fiesta Bowl. Well, you want to know what? They barfed one up in Corvallis and lost the Beavs.
Yeah.
Hey, there was very valid COVID-related reasons for the men's basketball team, but they kind of got their shit packed in Eugene to the Beavs.
Yeah.
Hey, have you paid attention in the last like 72 hours of women's basketball? And they lost twice the Beavs.
Yeah.
It almost feels like the perfect way this year is going to end is Oregon loses to Oregon State.
Limps into the Pac-12 tournament.
But also UCLA and USC also lose on Saturday.
Yeah.
So Oregon still.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. Damn it. There it goes. Perfect season over.
Well, look into your stats on that. How many of those losses are the last game of the year after they've essentially locked up the conference?
If I remember right, I think a lot of it is they go to Gill like first weekend in January when everyone's like pumped up lose.
Yeah, but they don't know how to play defense yet because they're an
right. And then they come to Matthew Knight, you know, later in the year when Oregon is separated by 5 games to Oregon State and they win.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Cause I remember, was it last year? Jeez, man, what a long time ago.
I got nothing on last year, man.
No, I remember when they played in Gill, and it was just like, how the hell are they? Are they pumping in noise? How is Gill like so rocking. Fucking
Gill's rocking, baby? Shit.
Trez Tinkle scoring 25.
Well, I think, you know, last game of the year, Beavs against a tournament-bound Duck team. That's kind of their tournament game there.
Yeah.
So.
I think Oregon will win. I think Oregon's going to win this one. There's no crowd. Mm-hmm. I think they win.
They have been – how the team's been playing is kind of pissing me off in that they're either down or losing at halftime. And then they seem to, like, have a little lull there with, you know, into about the 10-minute mark. And it's always like, oh, all right, here we go. You know, we're down 7. Let's go. But then they just go on, you know, they start actually playing defense and actually being able to score the ball. You know, they rip off it. 15-3
run. Yes. I've noticed that pattern. So when they were down 9 with like 9.5 to go yesterday, I was like, oh, that seems bad. And then all of a sudden it was like, oh, they're pressing. It's over. I don't know how they're going to win per se, but they're going to win. And this within like 2 minutes,
press worked. Holy
and
shit.
Within 2 minutes, it was like, oh yeah, Oregon's down 2, but they're going to win by 6. Like,
You know who keeps starting those runs for the Ducks is Richardson. Like every single time, like Richardson will either hit a three or he'll like drive to the basket, do that fucking spin move that nobody can stop apparently, and like get a layup. And all of a sudden the run starts happening. And then they switched to the press. And for whatever reason, Oregon's press is really effective this year. Like, I don't know what it is about the guys on the floor, but
well, when you have five guys that are 6'7" and lanky and fast.
That's the thing. It's like in past years, when the press has been broken, they've had much better defenders to kind of thwart a quick drive where they don't have this year. But those guys were also maybe a little bit of a liability when they were still pressing, but they were, you know, kind of pushing the half court.
They're hanging out at half court, hoping nobody gets behind them.
Yeah.
Like that's their job. Whereas right now everybody's pressing.
Everyone looks my last night when I was watching the game, how I envisioned their press was because everyone looks exactly the same. There's no Jordan Bell. There's no Boucher. There's no Wooten.
Hey, Bell would have fit in this squad.
It's like that when Eminem played at the VMAs in like 2002, and all of a sudden a million 5'7" white people with white shirts, jeans, and bleach hair, and everyone looked the same.
Yeah.
Like, where, it's disorienting.
Yeah,
everyone looks you can't attack one certain body type because everything is the same.
That's fucking racist.
Yeah, it really is.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah, they all look. All of them look the same. That's interesting, King. That's an interesting take you have.
Yeah, I'm just saying.
That's cool.
Even Devin Sawa looked like Eminem. It's a very distinct look.
What did you call him, Devin Sawa?
Is it Sawa?
Isn't Sawa?
Fuck, I don't know.
I don't even know who the fuck you're talking.
Has he been relevant since that Stan video?
Who's Devin Sawa?
He's an actor.
He was in Final Destination.
He was in the Stand video?
Yes. He was the guy, right?
I know who you're talking about. Okay. Yeah. I don't know him from anything else, though.
I think he was in Dawson's Creek, and then he did Final Destinations.
He had
a big run for like 18 months. Like he's very rich.
I've never
seen it's only occasional.
You've never seen a Final Destination?
I've never seen a Final Destination.
What world? What? Where did you live?
They look super cornball, dude. I wasn't into it.
You were in high school. What was your like discerning eye on horror movies as a 17-year-old?
You got me there.
Dude, where's my car, man? That's a masterpiece. Yeah. It's not the fucking Final Destination.
Come on, bro. I was watching Biodome back then.
Were you that snobby guy being like, actually, I watch Saw, okay?
Never seen a Saw either.
Yeah, I'm watching The Ring. All pass on Final Destination.
I saw The Ring at the Bijou.
See? So you were that guy.
The Ring at the Bijou.
The Final Destination movies... I think the first one was actually legitimately good. And then I saw like two more and they were bad. I think they made like four more.
Whoever the writer was just coming up with different ways to kill people.
Yeah. I'm driving down the street and wow, this woodpecker is somehow going to break the glass and get me right in like the carotid artery, which is in my leg, which makes no sense. But I'm going to bleed out, which means I spin around and I hit a bunch of nuns. Yeah, they got bad.
Yeah. All right, so let's get to the Blazers, because
you guys done being racist about the Blazers. Like,
ooh, I forget why was I racist about the Blazers.
I'm just saying, you guys can't listen to who. You can't watch breakdown of who.
Jordan Kent is terrible. I've said that many times. I am documented as saying that. Now Ski is documented as saying that.
Yep. And I'm going on the fence of saying I think Lamar Hurd is bad. Lamar, he's a college analyst. Yeah. College color guy there. Not
college what now? College what now? College.
My God. Can you guys stop this?
Whoa.
It's getting so uncomfortable.
I'm on your side now, King. Damn. Ski.
Oh, you're saying that. King's the one. Earlier this week saying we should all be rocking like the extremely racist Nakona gloves. They got like the cheap Wahoo on them essentially.
I don't know what these gloves are.
The baseball gloves.
That is a very niche reference.
I know. It is.
There, there are not a lot of people who know what a $500 baseball glove.
Oh, my God. I still got my Jose Canseco glove from when I was a kid, man.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those Nakona gloves, that sheepskin scam is quite the scam.
Yeah.
Sheepskin baseball gloves?
I believe so. I can't remember what animal they are, but it's not a cow.
What are gloves made out of in general?
I think cow.
Mostly just leather, yeah, cow leather.
All right.
The Nakona gloves are like probably like hand rubbed oil into them. They're like softer.
They do come pretty much broken. I do remember that.
That's nice. Yeah. Well, that's.
I was surprised though when you said that. When I looked it up, I was surprised they still had the Native American imagery burnt right into the glove.
Oh yeah, it's not as bad as cheap walking, but
it's not great.
It's not great.
Still breaking in gloves nowadays. Is that still a thing?
No,
or they're just all pre-worn in then. Like when they get them now, right?
No, kids just don't care. They will play a whole season.
They still play baseball anyway, so.
Kids will just play a whole season with fucked up gloves.
Yeah. Man, it's a different era, dude. That used to be such a thing.
Yeah, it's not.
Put the ball in it, like get the rubber bands and shit.
Yep. Little Johnson & Johnson baby oil.
Goddamn lube it up.
Lube it up. Right. Just sit there.
Yeah, just hitting it.
I literally
sit on the couch watching TV, just hitting your glove.
Yeah, it's just not a thing.
Not a thing anymore.
I throw it behind like my one of my parents' car and have them drive over it a couple times. Gotta break those fibers up a little bit.
Yeah, my oldest had a Babe Ruth tryouts this last weekend.
Oh man,
how'd it go?
And well, so last season got vanquished, right?
Yeah,
like they tried out.
Yeah.
Under the guise of, I'm like, I don't think the season's happening, but you know, it didn't happen.
Yeah.
So we're now talking the gap between third grade and fifth grade between buying like baseball pants, right?
It's a huge jump. It really is.
And yes, and my oldest, you know, he's in like the 99th percentile of height. So like it's a big jump.
He's
gonna be taller than me in like a year.
Yeah.
And I was like, dude. He's like, I don't have baseball pants. I don't have this. I'm like, I'm watching spring training. Like these guys, they're wearing jogging tights and shorts and sleeves. Like, you'll be fine. I was like, big leaguers don't even practice in baseball pants anymore.
Uh-huh.
And so he goes to tryouts and he's the only one not in brand new baseball pants. He's wearing tights with shorts over them. And he was not happy.
I'm curious how much of that was overcompensation by the parents because they missed out on last year and they're like, oh, we got to get all the new shit. Got to do it right. It's like,
fuck. I'm sure that's completely part of it.
There's no way they practice.
And that is kind of a little league like thing to just be kind of obnoxious.
Yeah.
So see, you're right in that, King. It's like, but tryouts, you want to like look the part. So they'd be like, all right, you. But once you're on a team and you're practicing, shorts, tights.
Because my thing was like, well, if they want you to slide, they'll tell you.
Yeah.
Like, you know, where your sliders. But the first day, I was like, you're just going to jog.
Yeah. Hit.
Be a little long toss.
Play catch, yeah.
You know, hit some whiffs, you know, nothing. But Jesus, everyone was dressed like it was Game 7 of the World Series.
Did he have to slide?
No.
Yeah, that'd be like child abuse in that. Huh.
What you need to do, King, is just buy him a pair of pants like two sizes bigger. So that first year he's rocking them like Manny does, where they're like hanging huge baggy and like hanging off the heel there.
Already a good look.
And that's how I rock my pants still. Huge. Yeah, then he grows into that. You know, you got a good 2+ years of.
Have you seen what the youth trend is for baseball pants now?
No.
Like, because I saw this sort of in the summer when like when Legion Ball was kind of playing and it was weird because COVID, but I paid attention to it this year because it starts different times in different states for high school and stuff. the trend is to wear your baseball pants like DBs and receivers wear their football pants, where you tuck them in over your, like, above your kneecaps.
Like, really high? So you have, like high socks?
There, it's almost like... like 1912 Yankee style.
It's Hunter Pence.
Where the socks are showing up above your kneecaps. Like
Hunter Pence does that. Hunter Pence has the pants really tight, like above the knee, and then the socks.
Yes, are it's a terrible look.
It's not great.
It's like a terrible look.
They look like knickerbockers almost.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah. Because I remember in high school, I rocked and I pulled it
they
up.
Look like, they look like what?
Bunched ski? Up, not.
Jesus, Ski. They look like what? God, would you listen to yourself, man?
Knickerbockers?
Hey, easy. We don't need to. Hey, whoa.
You were earning that explicit check mark.
Yeah, whatever happened to just pulling your fucking pants up to your knee, like below your knee, and rocking them high like that?
I did enjoy a good high sock look.
Yeah, you guys ever do the stirrups?
Yeah.
I wasn't really a fan of stirrups. Like, obviously, some were team issues. So you had to wear them, but
yeah.
I liked – I would always go to – there was a store on Willamette Street, I think called U.S. World Cup Soccer or something like that. It was by, like, Great Harvest and all that.
Sure.
And I would go and buy – it was soccer place, so I would buy these obnoxious soccer socks.
Fuck yeah.
And that's what I wore during football and baseball. And it was never, you know, I broke dress code, but it didn't matter because it didn't matter.
Like, really good knee socks were so hard for me because, like, I have really big calves. And so they don't make a lot of socks that, like, I don't have, like, Donnie calves or anything like that. But I have, like, big
who
calves.
Does?
Yeah, that's a good point. But I could never get them to, like, stay above my knee. And then one year I did, like, the surplus sale thing, and I grabbed some like actual real football socks. They're the best things ever. Like they go up to like mid thigh, dude, and they fucking stay up there. It's the best. I fucking wear those around the house. I don't give a shit. It's like, knee socks are the dopest. Okay. So back to the Blazers, I guess. How we feel? Yeah. So how we feeling about them? You know, All-Star break. All-Star break in a couple days.
I mean,
doesn't matter.
They've played like half the first half without CJ, and they're still like fourth in the West.
They're playing way above how they should be.
Yeah, and the back half of the schedule is going to be pretty rough.
Yeah,
and I forget what game against Hornets and the Kings here.
Right, I forget what the breakdown is, but it's something like they're 4-9. Versus teams from the East or not in the top 10 of the West.
Right.
And like 80% of their games in the second half are against those teams.
Yeah.
But caveat, no Nurk, no CJ for
Good news. They just said CJ is practicing at the end of the week, starting to practice at the end of the week. So
yeah.
No, he's probably another 2-3 weeks away, but
did you guys see the Stephen A. Smith, Damian Lillard thing today?
Didn't he apologize about him or something like that?
Well, he, yes,
maybe that was like a week or two ago. I don't know.
Yeah, well, his main point was they need to trade Damian Lillard to either the Knicks or the Lakers so America can watch Damian Lillard. He apologized to the state of Oregon.
Yeah,
we just don't matter enough. So you know,
Blazers have 15 nationally televised games.
The funny thing is Stephen A. Smith might be the most powerful person at ESPN, not as in an executive role.
Sure.
If he wanted Damian Lillard and the Blazers to be on ESPN more, he could just say, but he doesn't want to. Want to know why? Because it rains here. Like, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Send him to my Knicks, is what he said.
And like
send him to my Knicks, send him to the Lakers because I like the sun.
The argument that nobody sees him because he's in Portland is he's the fucking cover guy for the 2K game. Like
he made some points that were valid.
Yeah.
If Lillard played, if he was a Knick or a Laker, he's starting in the All-Star game and he's higher in the MVP race. That is true.
Yeah, valid. Yeah.
But you absolutely lost me with the fact that people are watching the Knicks more than they're watching the Blazers.
Did you see the Julius Randle Chris Bosh thing that started this weekend?
What?
There are people, I forget who Chris said Bosh. It. There's someone in the New York media. I think it might have been Brandon Tierney. I could be wrong.
Oh, yeah. He's
who said that at their peak.
From the radio program, Tiki and Terrible.
Yeah, that
show's so bad. He's fucking terrible.
That is who it is. You're right. And his point was that at his peak, Chris Bosh was never better than Julius Randle has been the last 2 years.
Oh, interesting.
And it's still a conversation. You want to know why? Because he's a fucking Nick.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, there is
–
it's a terrible – he's wrong. Mm-hmm. Like, Chris Bosh is definitely better than Julius Randle. Yeah. But you can just – if a Nick is like, hey, he's on a 17-8, that's like 25-12 in Portland.
Literally anywhere.
When did Nick fans in, like, talking heads – when did the Knicks been, crowned as like the team you like equate greatness to? It seems like there's a lot.
This has been my thing for like
when they were founded and were put in New York City. That's it.
This has been my thing.
Because New York City's like basketball mecca.
Yes, that's what they say, and that's my thing about Madison Square Garden. When people say, oh, it's the most famous arena in the world. Yeah, because it's hosted the Barnum fucking
Barnum and Bailey.
The circus. It's not because of the Knicks.
Yeah.
I don't know who the hell Earl the Pearl Monroe is. I could not pick him out of a lineup. No clue. You can give me two guys and it's 50-50. I know who Walt Clyde Frazier is because he's still
on TV still.
But that's about it. And then people romanticize the 90s Knicks because they're like, hey, they always lost to Jordan or the Pacers. Yeah, like,
they lost to everybody good.
They lost to everyone in the playoffs in 77-81 scores. Like, good for them.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when you're saying with CMA talking, it's like a landing. It's like, oh, this superstar should go to the Knicks. And it's why? He's not going to win there.
No.
Well, because he'll make some more money and be a little more visible, but that's it. It ain't going to win.
Kyrie and KD decided to go to the Nets and not the Knicks.
Yeah.
Like, they're never going to Portland. I get that too. But when you're the Knicks and the team 6 miles away who used to be in New Jersey and before that was in New York and the ABA, like, it's just this terrible franchise when they're getting these guys. Just slow your roll a little bit.
I have been to Madison Square Garden. I went to check this out. Full circle. I saw the Sonics against the Knicks in MSG. And guess who was the Sonics point guard?
Patrick Ewing.
Sonics point guard. Who was the Sonics point guard? We were talking
about probably Red.
Yes, it was. That was good. That was good shit.
Wow. That what year was that?
It had to be like 2003 or 2004. It had to be something like that. That was the first longtime girlfriend, man. That was a long ass time ago. Graduated from the U of O and went to Columbia, and I went and visited her. Part of the trip was going to see the Knicks.
I do remember. I've walked by Madison Square Garden.
It's, by the way, it's really cool from the outside. In the inside,
in fairness, it's been renovated, but
yeah, okay, yeah,
that's what they said about.
I do remember just seeing it, and now it's my first like inkling of the scale of New York City.
Yeah,
and I was like, wow, that's a huge building.
Yeah,
Look around. No, it's
It's not. It is dwarfed by everything.
Very small.
Yeah, that's true.
And while you're talking about, you brought up Stephen A. Did you see the Skip Bayless news?
I did. He's very rich.
Yeah.
How rich?
Apparently, though, the intriguing thing was that ESPN was going to try to give him a lot of money to team back up with Stephen A.
How rich? How rich is he? What's the
$8 million a year?
Four years, $32 million, $33 million for Fox. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Fox pays
good money to watch LeBron James win a NBA title and be like, you want to know what? Xavier Daniel was better.
And, I mean, this just goes to show why Fox News and like all the talking heads,
are doing
for the most part, because you make a lot of fucking money doing this.
Really good money.
Saying outlandish things makes you a lot of money.
And you know what we've learned from Fox News, that side of it too, recently, is that no matter what, you know, advertisers leave, there will always be replacements.
There's always more.
There's always more. Somebody will always pay you money to be on your station if you're them, because they get eyeballs.
That should be our new podcast, is just saying ridiculous things.
We've talked about this before.
Like, I know. Well, we gotta
follow through, right? Or should we do another one and just like not acknowledge it at all? And so we have side by side podcasts. One plays one side, one plays the other at the same time.
Yeah, that one will be sponsored by Goya in my pillow, and
there you go.
We get like 40,000 listeners a week in
Hobby Lobby.
Yeah.
Hey, Hobby Lobbies, I've made peace with them. Them and Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, right. I've never been to a Chick-fil-A.
It's good. It is good.
I don't know what it is, man. I always want my chicken sandwiches on a Sunday. And I can't do it for me.
Yeah.
You got to remember that Jesus said no chicken on Sundays. So.
It's in the Bible. Can't argue with it. Okay, so do we have anything else to talk about with the Blazers?
The game
yesterday was interesting because Dame goes like 1 of 8 from three, and then all of a sudden, like, he barely hit net on that game winner. And Kerr is apparently pissed about the charge, like that. He's still bitching about it today. I saw like a headline of that today.
Stir looked
pretty good. Like, am I crazy?
Stir brought this up to me too, and I said, the gall that these people have to say of Draymond Green having an offensive foul called against him, because he is blown by the entire country for him stepping in and taking charges.
Yeah.
And they're going to try to say, oh, you know, Dame coming in, they want it to be a no call there or something like that. It's like,
it's a charge.
Get the fuck out of here.
He ran him over.
Yeah.
Like Dame's like face was on his dick. Like he got,
whoa.
That's a pud slap charge, man. That is
10 inches of Walton all over him.
10 inches of Walton. That's a charge. Well, like, I guess the argument would be that he wasn't in position when Draymond jumped. And that would be a block. But that's not what happened. And we have instant replays that people can watch. So
Sir, he's down in L.A., so he was listening to local post-game stuff.
Okay.
And Chris Mullen said that he thinks the NBA should extend out the circle under the hoop to make that not a chart. You know, that'd be a blocking foul in there. Because he says he wants Damian Lillard to contest Draymond Green at the hoop there and not go in to take a charge.
Cool story. Cool story.
Cool story, rim protector Chris Mullin.
I know.
What are you talking about, Mr. fucking fade officer marine man Chris Mullin? Step in and take a charge? I watch your St. John's teams, Chris Mullin.
What would be your serious guess in his prime about how high Chris Mullin could jump?
22 inches.
You gotta say
under 22 inches. Ski.
I was going under 20 inches.
Like, he must have dunked in his career at some point, right? But he was also tall.
He was like 6'10.
Yeah.
He's got that AD Smith 3-point shot where he barely lifts his feet off the ground.
Yeah. Doesn't even jump. Totally. The jump shot. Okay, I guess we're done with Blazers. Do we want to just?
Well, we know how the story goes.
Yeah.
4 seed, 5 seed, at best, win around, make a 7-game series. They win in the first round, and
Lakers just kind of chilling out at 3 and 4 now, doing exactly what they want to do.
They're not even playing their guys.
It is funny to me. I was watching Donovan Mitchell. I was watching Donovan Mitchell complain, and I was like, dude, okay, what are you laughing about?
I just Googled. Okay, I'm gonna. Hang on. All
right.
I Googled Chris Mullin dunks. Right.
Okay.
Okay. So I'm just gonna send this to you guys. Okay. And so just it's not a long video. Okay.
Is this like his top dunk?
It's the only one I can find.
The dunk.
It's a 30-second clip. The first one is like a three, and then the second. I just want to see your guys' reactions.
All right,
in live time.
Okay, cool. I got it now. Loading the video. Loading the video. Three again. Smooth fadeaway J.
You got to be ready for that, TT. Oh, that young man. Missed dribbling ball, loses it. Free ball on the floor, turnover.
Tim Hardaway.
That guy, rim rocking, rim protecting, 19-inch vert Chris Mullin.
Oh my god! Yeah, I'm going under. I'm going way under.
You could see he was like going to jump, and he's like, "Oh, I got to put a little.
Oh, I'm gonna get there.
I got it."
I couldn't believe because he's tall and he barely made that on a breakaway.
His arm was stretched so far, dude.
And that was in his prime.
Yeah,
that was prime. Chick Hearn calling the game for the Lakers. He can barely do it.
That's fantastic. Yeah, what was that? It doesn't matter. Hey, let's get to our list. How about that?
Okay.
Let's close this bitch out and do our list. What's our list?
So we're maybe almost exactly a week away from the 1 year anniversary of when the world kind of changed forever.
The shutdown,
the Rudy Gobert day.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, did you know that there's a special coming out soon about him?
There is.
Yeah, I'm very, very.
That better be called that. Rudy Gobert Day going forward. I mean,
all right, sorry.
So I'm just asking you guys three things that as of March 4th, the year 2020, you guys thought you were pretty sure would happen.
Yeah, okay.
That it might not have or it might have. But I'm just asking three things that a year ago today, before the world flipped on its axis. That you were
definitely axis, but go ahead.
Yeah.
Felt, you know, it was a certainty to happen.
Yeah. This was kind of tough because you had to like put yourself in that mindset before COVID was a thing. And
absolutely.
Everybody is totally different now. Like just all around as human beings, we're all very different now. I mean, unless you live in like Florida.
Texas.
Well, Texas changed for a little bit. Texas, man, that's crazy, man.
I will say, I was when I saw on Tuesday or whatever, they were ending. I was like, wow, I'm actually a little surprised they still have
this
one.
Yeah, opening up everything in the state of Texas. Good luck with that, guys. All right, so who do you want to start? Start us off.
No.
I'll start. I guess.
I can too. Okay, you go ahead. Sure.
All right. My number three that I thought for sure was going to happen was the Lady Ducks being national title winners.
Yeah, that's.
I thought it was automatic. There was no way they weren't going to win it all.
Yep, that's on my. Yeah, go ahead. That's on my list as well. I might as well put it at three. I don't really have any particular order on this, but yeah, it was for sure. They were finally going to get their national title. Sabrina was going to go off like in a blaze of glory. And
it's funny because that kind of came up today online and I was like, I totally remember I went to a bar downtown and watched the Oregon Stanford Pac-12 championship where the Ducks just kicked Tara Vanderveer in the teeth at a crowded bar after a rec league basketball playoff game.
Oh my goodness.
How weird.
Might as well be swimming in COVID.
Right?
Jesus.
Well, I think the cheap beer and sweating it out on the court, that kills COVID. So.
Maybe.
That's science. You can't argue with it.
And then
things the you goal, can't argue, things you can't argue with that I've just learned, the Bible and science. Who knew?
And then the goal of South Carolina to hang a banner now. They beat the USA Olympic team.
Yeah.
They beat them.
Kind of handily.
Yeah.
Maybe not handily, but.
Well, as a college team could beat the Olympic team.
It wasn't in doubt in the last couple of minutes. We'll just put it that way.
Yeah.
That is such a bummer. I don't want to think about that anymore. That is such a bummer. Like 4 years invested in Sabrina and like that team, Sabrina and Ruthie, you know, both of them, like that team. And they were, it was a done deal, dude. It was a done deal. Ugh. Yeah. That's also my number three. Sure.
My number three was I was certain we were going to get an old white septuagenarian as a president. I just may have thought it was Bernie.
Septuagenarian.
Well, that I guess that kind of falls into my
70-year-old. I don't know what it's called. I know what an octogenarian is. Right. I was trying to think what a seven thing is. A septuagenarian.
Wait, did we not? Because how old is Biden?
No, we did.
Oh, okay. Oh, gotcha. Okay, you thought it was going to be Bernie? Is your point?
Yeah, maybe. Okay,
yeah.
All right, so I guess that falls into my number two, is that I was 100% sure Trump wasn't going to win again.
That's my number two.
Is it? Yeah. Without COVID, he 100% wins.
We have the exact same list. Actually, our ones are probably pretty different. Yeah, agreed. Like, without COVID and the way he just completely fucked it up, like, he's probably still president.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah. I remember back March 2020, I had very little faith in my fellow American. I have a little bit more now.
Yeah, not much.
Ooh, Mello with an air ball to end the third. Nice work. All right, so we both have the same number two, King. So you're number two now.
My number two, I know it. I know you guys are going to say I'm lying. But I am not. On March 4th of 2020, I knew the Lakers were going to win the NBA title at Walt Disney World in a bubble.
Yeah.
Profit. Check it. Fact check.
The prophet over here. Totally.
Turn back the tape.
I was going to say, find the receipts.
Turn back time. I totally knew we were going to do this podcast again. That's not on my list. I just thought of that though. That's honorable mention. Yeah, we're just waiting for all the sports to be canceled to bring back the podcast. Genius.
Is that the Taco Bell ding?
That's the Taco Bell bell. I was gonna say, is that Undertaker? No, that's the Taco Bell.
All right. I guess I'll go with my number one. And I think this will go throughout the end of time, is that Husky fans will complain about the football schedule when it's released.
Mm-hmm.
Every year for eternity.
That has proven to be true.
Doesn't matter what it is, they will find an angle to equate how they're getting fucked and Uncle Phil is hooking the ducks up with a cakewalk schedule.
Yeah. He's like paying the Pac-12.
Yeah.
Yep. If there's one thing that is consistent, it is that. And them not being as good as Oregon. Although,
let's ignore
a couple of years ago.
There you go. Well, we'll little quick intermediate break here. I got a little pop quiz for you two.
Pop quiz, right. Hot chat.
All right, not really a quiz, but a question. Who is the bigger crybaby? Washington fans about the football schedule or Andy Enfield about the basketball schedule for the Ducks? Did you see him come out and say?
Washington fans. It's fucking February, and their season ended like December 6th, and they're still fucking crying.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah. The Andy Enfield thing, I laughed at it because I'm like, dude – it's not like you came to Matthew Knight Arena. Yeah. like, what are you – you're really proposing that, like, last week Oregon plays USC on Monday, UCLA on Wednesday, and then flies up here and plays – yeah, it just –
Look at how the season schedule has ended for Oregon and how many games they're playing in a span of like 0 days. Like, it's, I don't care if you're playing bad teams, and they're not, by the way, it's fucking difficult to play that many games in that many days. Like, you get tired, especially when you play the same five or six guys all game for all of those games. So yeah, I don't want to hear it.
Well, King was at least 100% correct. It is the Husky fans.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because they found a way to complain about last year where they didn't play a road game.
Yeah.
They found a way to say, oh, the Ducks had a COVID bye before they played, you know, like.
Oh, the bye before the Husky game argument is such bullshit.
What is
like, that's a softy thing.
It's, like this year, it's the Huskies play two road games before they play the Ducks.
And it's like
that's a fucking schedule. You have to play the road.
And it's like they play at Arizona and I forget who else, but it's like
Cal or something. Like
Cal, it's really that's okay. Gauntlet. Like,
yeah,
this ain't going to LSU and Auburn on back to back weeks. Like let's calm down a little bit there. Though I did have a Husky fan throw into my face earlier this week that they outscored their opponents this year by 21 points in football.
Ooh, big fucking time in there.
He was like, yeah, we outscore our opponents 121 to 100. And I was like, wow, that cool. 5.1 points over four game season. So then I looked up Oregon's, granted, like seven games instead of four.
Yeah.
So it's not as good, but yeah, of course, because cosmic energy. Yeah, they outscored their opponents by 21 points.
Yeah, I mean, that makes just perfect sense for that.
Yeah.
Grasping at straws. All right, my number one is that the 49ers were going to be good this year. I was 100% sure they were going to be good this year. 100%. Fucking were a horrible pass interference call at the end of the first half away from beating the Chiefs. I kid, of course.
Well, here's a question posed to you. If they were healthy, would they have been good?
Yes. Like, yeah, they would have been great. Still,
you know, if you had faith in Jimmy G.
Yes. Well, Jimmy G's going to be their quarterback next year. Like, so if they're like Debo was hurt half the season, Kittle was hurt half the season, not to mention all the guys on defense. Like, of course. Yeah, they would have been like, even without COVID, I think they would have been fine if they were, or even with COVID, they would have been fine if they were healthy, but fuck, they weren't.
I had to get up for a sec. Did you say they were a bad PI call away from beating the Chiefs? Is that what I heard?
At the end of the first half. Yeah.
Okay. I love the scale that 49ers have on what they were going to – how that game was going to win. It was a PI call in the first, right?
Yeah.
It was a Jimmy Garoppolo throw kind of late in the fourth. That was going to win it too.
Yeah.
And then it was a Chris Jones deflection.
Yeah.
It also lost it for him.
Yeah.
You lost by 11.
Yeah. I mean, had the lead going into the fourth. So,
yeah.
Okay. My point is they were going to be good this year and they very much were.
I will be nice here. They would have been a playoff team at least.
Yeah. All right. What's your one, King?
My one is on March 4th, May 4th, October 4th. December 4th, fuck, maybe even February 4th.
Shit.
I was so sure that the Kansas City Chiefs were going to win back-to-back Super Bowls. I made this shirt.
Ooh. Let's see it.
That's hard to see. But their slogan was run it back.
Run it back.
What does it say?
Ran it back. How many times have you worn that out and about since the Super Bowl?
Zero.
Zero.
And it's such a comfortable sweatshirt. I hate it too because it's so comfortable.
I think you have to ship that off to Africa.
I would, but it's too comfortable.
No.
So are you saying you don't want poor African people to have comfort?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Isn't it? It's hot over there. Do they need hoodies? They're fine.
Hemispheres. I don't know.
Yes.
I don't know how that works. Yes, I was so sure that I made a sweatshirt on the Creek Cup machine. Well in advance. It takes 5 minutes. It's not a big time investment.
Don't try to downplay that shit.
Oh, you have no idea. If they had won, I had like all sorts of designs and I was just gonna sit down that night and just crank out like an asshole.
So you have that in your house?
Yeah.
The shirt maker?
Yeah.
Why are we making shirts?
Because it's you can't make print shirts. Like, you can't make stuff like this.
Oh, that's fine. Yeah.
I will say, you clearly had confidence by putting it on a comfortable hoodie.
I should have been. I know.
This was the worst fucking.
I will say, I made it after the AFC Championship game. And I was like,
I was gonna say, and you were so confident on March 4th, 2020, that you didn't show anybody until just now.
Have you listened to me talk about the Chiefs prior? Of course, I was that confident. We're the best. We just got screwed.
Yeah,
Mike Remmers, go to hell, Mike Remmers. Hey Mitchell Schwartz, get a fucking knee ligament, you jerk. Protect the $75 million a year man.
Yeah, and if you find some knee ligaments, give some to my team because we're lacking a lot of them. nice tone to end the podcast on.
Oh,
well, I'll liven it up here to end it on. I think it just came out. We got a Coming to America 2.
Don't dare.
I think it's out like today, right?
Next week, we're talking retro stuff, okay? Like Coming to America. There's some other things. I want to talk about that.
Okay.
Like, you want to talk like the original Coming to America?
No, all these retro things. They're coming back.
Oh, all right.
Yeah. All right.
I got no use for this one.